From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Araspeña with your state and local news update. Juneau's Wildflower Court nursing home has an outbreak of COVID-19 among staff and residents. Some of those infected have been fully vaccinated against the virus. Administrator Ruth Johnson says two staff members tested positive last week. They put that part of the home in isolation and tested staff and residents. Five residents tested positive. That's nine total people infected with COVID-19. But Johnson says 70% of the patients and staff have been fully vaccinated against COVID-19 already, and 80% have had at least their first shot of the vaccine. Some of the people who have tested positive were exposed after their second vaccine. Johnson says nursing home staff may be seeing in real time what some state and federal medical officials have been saying since the vaccines became available. If you are vaccinated against COVID-19, it will most likely keep you from getting sick, but it may not keep you from carrying the virus to someone else. This is the first outbreak among patients at Wildflower Court, and Johnson says she is grateful that so many residents have been vaccinated because it will likely be effective at preventing serious illness. Wildflower Court is divided into four separate areas. They call them neighborhoods, and right now the outbreak is confined to one neighborhood. She says no one is going between neighborhoods right now. And they stopped putting multiple people in rooms at the beginning of the pandemic. That means people can isolate themselves in their own rooms if they get sick. In other news, a long-term recovery group is coordinating the various entities offering relief to Haines residents affected by the severe storm last month. As KHNS's Henry Leisha reports, it has been difficult to enact a plan without knowing what kind of state and federal assistance will be available in the future.
During the first week of December, heavy precipitation caused flooding and landslides in Haines. Two people were killed and dozens have been displaced. Haines resident Sarah Chapel has been helping organize stakeholders involved in the long-term recovery following December's destructive storm. She says the group is made up of representatives from any organization that can provide resources for the relief effort.
So that might be disaster response agencies like the Red Cross, faith-based organizations, nonprofits, community organizations, and, you know, the private sector.
She says right now they're focused on getting money and resources to families. Case managers with the state and the Salvation Army are working with those affected by the storm to figure out what each individual has, what they need, and what their situation will be in the future. Chapel says one of the goals of long-term recovery is to make sure that the individuals who need the most help get the most support.
Sometimes that means holding back a little bit in the beginning because we're just not sure where those long-term needs are going to fall after we hear from some of the other programs that are in place.
She says local organizations and nonprofits want to provide assistance for things that won't be covered by state and federal relief, but it's still unclear what that relief will look like. Earlier this month, the state began accepting applications for assistance from residents who were impacted by December's storm. They received over 100 applications from residents across Southeast Alaska. About 50 applications came from Haines. Jeremy Zedek is a spokesperson for the Alaska Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management.
What we do is we categorize the applicants depending on the needs that they have, with temporary housing needs being the folks that would receive assistance first.
According to Zedek, 20 displaced residents in Southeast Alaska have started receiving temporary housing assistance from the state. The Salvation Army has also been helping cover rent for displaced families in Haines. But Zedek says some of the other relief available under the state's individual assistance program has not been rolled out yet. That's because Governor Mike Dunleavy plans to make a request for assistance from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA. Zedek says they can't duplicate efforts.
So if the state comes in and provides funding for some type of home repair, and then FEMA wants to come in and provide that same assistance, then we would have to ask the applicant for reimbursement for those state funds. And that's something that we don't want to do. It complicates the process, and it can really frustrate our applicant.
State officials and FEMA staff recently completed a preliminary damage assessment for the 2020 Southeast Alaska storm disaster. Based on the data from that report, the governor will make a request to FEMA. Zedek says that will likely happen within a week or so. When and how the federal agency will respond is not clear. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
Sitka illustrator Michaela Goad was awarded one of the highest honors in children's literature this week. Goad, who is Tlingit, is the first Indigenous person to win the Caldecott Medal for her work on We Are Water Protectors. KCAW's Aaron McKinstry reports.
Earlier this week, Michaela Goad thought she was signing on to an ordinary Zoom call with her small publishing team. Instead, she was met with a group of new faces congratulating her on her win.
I was completely caught off guard and I didn't really even know what to say beyond just thank you like a million times.
The Caldecott Medal is awarded annually by the American Library Association to the artist of the most distinguished children's picture book.
It's kind of like the pinnacle for kids' books. They call it like the Oscars of kids' books. So it's a dream I think a lot of us have. And it was definitely a far-fetched dream, like maybe one day if I'm lucky.
The 15-person award committee chose We Are Water Protectors from more than 100 other children's books sent to them by publishing companies. Chair Anisha Jeffries says the book was chosen for its powerful message and its captivating illustrations.
You know, looking at the beautiful illustrations by Michaela, it just gave an overwhelming pictorial presentation throughout the book, and she was able to breathe so much life into the story.
The book urges activism to protect water and other natural resources. Author Carol Lindstrom was inspired by Indigenous-led movements like the 2016 demonstrations against the Dakota Access Pipeline. When Goad read the story, she knew immediately that she wanted to illustrate it.
Just growing up in Southeast Alaska, being Tlingit, like, people of the tides, water is a way of life here, and it is our life here in so many different ways. So that core theme really resonated.
Goad is a member of the K'iksedi clan of Sitka and the Tlingit and Haida Indian tribes of Alaska. She made national headlines as the first Indigenous person and the first BIPOC woman to win the award.
I think it's important to look at that and digest it and acknowledge and reflect on being the first in the award's 83-year history, while also just being excited for the future and just know that there have been a lot of big strides in the publishing industry in the last few years.
Goad also received attention late last year when her drawing of Alaska Native leader Elizabeth Paratovich was featured on Google's Doodle of the Day. She says some of the most powerful recognition she's received is from Indigenous children and their parents. She hopes this book and the honor help elevate their voices.
To help Indigenous children feel seen and validated, and in adults, and to know that their voices and their stories are worthy, you know, of everyone lifting them up. We fight for those who cannot fight for themselves, the winged ones, the crawling ones, the four-legged, the two-legged, the plants, trees, rivers, lakes, the earth. We are all related.
Goad's next book is a collaboration with author Tasha Spillett Sumner called I Sing You Down from the Stars. It comes out in April. She's also working on a book set in Southeast Alaska that focuses on traditional food gathering and generational knowledge. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Erin McKinstry.
Long-time safeguards for U.S. bird populations that were stripped away by the Trump administration are among more than 100 business-friendly rules getting a second look under President Joe Biden. North American bird populations have dropped by some 3 billion since 1970, and wildlife advocates say it's urgent for Biden to resume prosecutions of companies that don't prevent bird deaths. Yet, reversing Trump's actions is likely to take years and would continue a decades-old back-and-forth on environmental regulations between Democratic and Republican administrations. Business groups lobbied for Trump's deregulatory approach. Courts offer another avenue for dismantling Trump's policies, but appointment of scores of conservative judges presents its own challenges. And one of Alaska's largest fish processing plants remains shut down after more than a third of its workforce tested positive for COVID-19. 266 of about 700 workers at Trident Seafood's huge plant on the remote Aleutian Island of Akatan have tested positive for the virus, company officials said on Thursday. Trident's plant shut down last week after a handful of workers tested positive, just as the billion-dollar winter fishing season kicked off. Days later, bad weather continued to delay shipments and supplies Trident needed to conduct mass testing of its large Akatan force. About 100 workers considered high risk have been taken to Anchorage to quarantine, officials said. This is KTOO News.